Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Servant Leadership: A Journey into the Nature of Legitimate Power and Greatness, is a landmark work of leadership theory by Robert K. Greenleaf, presented here in its 25th anniversary edition. Originally developed from essays and talks, the book argues that genuine leadership begins with a commitment to serve others rather than to control them. Greenleaf's central concern is the moral source of authority leaders are legitimate only when their actions improve the lives, autonomy, and growth of the people they lead. The book is not a conventional management manual. It is a reflective and ethical exploration of how institutions, communities, and individuals can be shaped by service, listening, stewardship, and responsibility. Its influence extends across business, education, nonprofit work, healthcare, churches, and public organizations, where it has become a foundational text for readers interested in leadership that is humane, accountable, and development-oriented. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, leadership defined by service rather than authority. Greenleaf's most important contribution is his reversal of the usual leadership hierarchy. Instead of treating power as the starting point, he argues that the leader should first be a servant. This is not a sentimental idea, but a structural claim about legitimacy. Authority becomes valid only when it is exercised for the benefit of others. The book repeatedly contrasts servant leadership with top-down, authoritarian models that prioritize control, status, or institutional convenience. In Greenleaf's framework, leading is inseparable from responding to the needs of followers and helping them become more capable. That shift changes the meaning of leadership from commanding outcomes to creating conditions in which people can grow. It also makes leadership a moral practice, because the leader is judged by whether others are better served, not by how much influence the leader accumulates. This is why the book remains influential in fields where trust and accountability matter as much as performance. Secondly, the test of leadership is whether people grow. A defining feature of the book is Greenleaf's practical test for leadership quality: the people served should become healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous, and more likely to serve others. This standard matters because it moves evaluation away from short-term results alone. A servant leader is not simply kind or supportive. The role requires a measurable developmental effect on followers and institutions. Greenleaf treats growth as the real evidence of legitimate power. If people become more dependent, fearful, or diminished, then leadership has failed, regardless of formal success. This idea gives the book a strong ethical and organizational logic. It asks leaders to consider whether their influence expands capacity or merely extracts labor. The test also applies to institutions. Schools, churches, businesses, and bureaucracies should be judged by whether they build stronger human beings and healthier communities. That emphasis on growth makes the book especially relevant to anyone who wants leadership tied to human development, not just operational efficiency. Thirdly, listening, empathy, and persuasion as core leadership practices, Greenleaf's theory becomes concrete through a set of interpersonal practices that define how servant leadership works in daily life. Listening is central because it disciplines the leader to understand needs before acting. Empathy follows naturally, since a servant leader must be able to see situations from the perspective of others, rather than imposing assumptions from above. Persuasion is equally important because Greenleaf prefers influence rooted in trust and moral credibility, instead of coercion. Together, these practices show that servant leadership depends on relational skill, not simply good intentions. The leader must pay attention, interpret context, and communicate in ways that invite participation. This is one reason the book has been widely adapted in professions such as nursing and nonprofit management, where the quality of relationships directly affects outcomes. These practices also reduce the risk of detached leadership, where decisions are made at a distance from the people they affect. Greenleaf presents them as habits that discipline power and keep it accountable to service. Fourthly, stewardship and the ethical use of organizational power. Another major theme is stewardship, which frames leadership as responsible care for people and resources that belong to something larger than the leader. Greenleaf's concern is not only how leaders behave toward individuals, but how they handle institutions, authority, and public trust. In this sense, servant leadership is deeply anti-possessive power, is not personal property, but a temporary responsibility. The book links this idea to long-term thinking, community building, and the obligation to leave institutions stronger than they were found. That makes stewardship more demanding than managerial efficiency, because it requires leaders to consider the wider moral consequences of decisions. Greenleaf also sees the leader as a seeker, someone open to reflection and new possibilities rather than fixed ego or rigid procedure. This spiritual and philosophical dimension gives the book unusual depth within leadership literature. It asks not only how to run an organization, but what kind of person should be trusted with influence in the first place. Lastly, why the book became a cross-sector leadership classic. The lasting significance of servant leadership comes from its portability across sectors. Although it emerged from Greenleaf's reflections on organizations and institutions, the book has been adopted in business, education, government, healthcare, and religious leadership because its ideas address a common problem: how to exercise power without dehumanizing people. The book is influential precisely because it does not depend on a narrow industry model or a technical system. Instead, it offers a broad ethical framework that can be applied wherever leaders are responsible for others. Its essays also have a distinctive, reflective tone, which makes the book more philosophical than many leadership texts. Readers encounter a sustained argument about character, legitimacy, and service rather than a checklist of tactics. That combination of moral seriousness and practical relevance explains why the book continues to be cited as a foundational text. It stands apart from conventional leadership books by insisting that greatness is measured through service, not prestige or control. In conclusion, this book is best suited for executives, managers, educators, nonprofit leaders, healthcare administrators, clergy, and readers who want a serious ethical foundation for leadership. It is also valuable for anyone studying organizational behavior or leadership theory, because it presents one of the most influential alternatives to command and control management. The practical benefit of the book is that it reframes leadership decisions around the growth, autonomy, and well-being of others, which can improve trust, accountability, and community within institutions. Its intellectual value lies in how clearly it connects power to moral responsibility. Compared with many leadership books that focus on technique, charisma, or productivity, Greenleaf offers a deeper question: what makes authority legitimate in the first place? That is what makes the book stand out. It is not a quick guide to influence, but a durable framework for evaluating leadership character and institutional purpose. Readers looking for a leadership model grounded in service, reflection, and human development will find it especially distinctive and enduring. If you would like to support Robert K. Greenleaf, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.